just how I feel. I may never find words to describe, but I will try. I will try.
I'll keep trying to feed the hungry soul.
Never say all that I feel, but I will try.
Try.
myself what happened to our happy home. Will I ever see you again? I need to know, my friend.
Now the past is gone.
Past is gone. Reminiscing on what we used to share and how we used to be such a happy pair. Oh, yeah. I cannot believe we've thrown it all away. Tell me, will I see you again someday? The past is gone, but tomorrow
it's going down.
And I need that we made a vow that we'd always be together.
I'm sure. can run, but there's no hiding place you can't deny. Don't try to fight, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you get all trouble, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so touch somebody, find out that they understand. When you tell them what you've been through, who you are, what you had to do, believe it when you hear them say that the God we serve has made a way for you to lay your burden down, rest and make a joyful sound, because we love you. There is nothing you could ever do, oh no, about. If you get off track, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so hug somebody now, hold tight till you let it out. Somebody's gonna stand right here and wipe away every tear. And if you need a friend, don't you wait outside, you can come on in. But even if you take your time, don't rush, it'll be alright, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about. If you get off track, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so just love,
love,
no fear.
Follow me, let me hear you.
that pray in the spirit, the only reason God gave you the gift to pray in the spirit, so that he can give you some understanding through the spirit, so that the spirit can tame your tongue. He can do abundantly above all that you ask or think. Nobody ever asks anything without thinking first. Now this is what's hindering your prayers. Some of you are thinking wrong, so your asking is off. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Honey, if I tell my son to go in and tell my other son to shut up and go to sleep, he's not going speaking for me, he's going as me. God don't need your mouth. The word of God said in St. John 16, verse 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. How bearing he, the spirit of truth this time, he will guide you into all truth. Here comes faith now. He will not speak of himself. Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? Well, they didn't lie to the Holy Ghost. They lied to Peter. But since Peter was filled with the spirit, when they lied to the Holy Ghost. Stop, hallelujah. Stand on your feet, get up, glory. Sit down. I'm gone losing my mind again. Hey! Woo! I love it. Are you getting it? But he's only able according to the power that works in you. Let me tell you something. Elijah had a word from God. He said, and my word. Some of you, you want to speak to the mountain. But let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost, whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of Christ himself. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, may come by hearing by the word of God.
If I could give you the world on a silver platter, would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me if I could find in all this a dozen roses, which I would give to you. You'd still be miserable. Here we are. Hate on me, hate on me.
Hi, my name is Elijah William Olensky. My dad will be with you shortly. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. May observe to do according to all that is written therein, and you shall have good success. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's my dad.
God bless you. I am so happy that we are continuing our message on the presence of the Lord. We are dealing with His presence, which is more important than anything that you could ever imagine. You see, many of the problems, all of the problems of this planet are due to the lack of God's presence. As I spoke on yesterday, the whole gospel, the whole purpose of creating the earth was to bring on the earth, not only in heaven, that His will would be done. It is our prayer, and most of us grew up praying this, but we understand that even the Lord's prayer is prophecy. This whole salvation, everything that Jesus did on earth was to bring about God's government on earth. Heaven is ran by God. Isaiah 66, the heaven is my throne. This is Yahweh. He said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What do you do on a footstool? You rest your feet. God is bringing us to the climax by which He's able to rest His feet. That's why Jesus came to walk on this earth, to give us rest. He brought Himself, He walked, and He conquered every place that the soles of your feet shall tread upon. That place I have given unto you. Don't you know when Christ came on earth, He claimed earth? He claimed earth. So when we pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, everything that you and I have dealt with, people that lived before we came on the scene, this is the whole purpose, that there would on earth be peace, goodwill toward men. So we are coming to that. So here's what's happening. All over the earth, the righteous are going to be in authority. Those who have God's heart, those who are just, those who are fair. You know, you can look at your occupation, you can look at ministries, you can look at every area of life. It seems as though that those who are not chosen by God have occupied positions that have caused the mess that we're in now. Look at King Saul. God said to Samuel, anoint this man, but tell Israel the manner of this king. So we understand that Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There is a kingly anointing in the land. So pray that His will be done on earth, because it will. So we will continue with the presence of God. You know, David became king of Israel in a time of spiritual declension and apostasy. He found the land in a helpless state. You know, when David came to the scene, he saw the helplessness of the people of God everywhere under the power of the Philistines. This terrible army that brought so much trouble to Israel. And he saw many of his cities still held by the Canaanite people. You know, many of the people of Israel were prostituting the worship of Jehovah with pagan practices of the goddess Ashtaroth, Melita, and the Ark of the Covenant was lost to God's people. You know, at this time, the city of Jerusalem on Mount Zion had been kept as a stronghold by the Canaanite tribes called the Jebusites. Ever since the days of Joshua, David led his men of war against it, but the Jebusites from their high walls and steep rocks laughed at David. They mocked King David. They placed on the top of the walls the blind, the lame people. Imagine that. David is looking at this gigantic wall, a man that knew how to defeat giants, saw the blind and the lame people. You can look at the earth, how those with great riches and wealth claim that they have worked hard to get it. Nobody can work up billions of dollars. You can forget it. The less work you do in a certain position, the more money you make. So don't be hoodwinked into thinking that people that are wealthy got it by hard work. That's just simply nonsense. Most of the wealth has been inherited through inheritance and through corruption and what have you. So here's David looking at the lame, and he's looking at all of these hurting people at the top of this wall, the blind men, the lame men. And they began to laugh and taunt David, saying, "Even blind men and lame men can keep you out of our city." And this caused David to be angry. And he sent to his men, he said, "Whoever climbs this wall and strikes down the blind and the lame upon it, he shall be the chief captain and general of the whole army." Then all of the soldiers of David rushed. And can you see them all? Because they wanted that position. And each striving to be first. The man who was able first to reach the enemies and strike them down was Joab. And this was the son of David's sister, Zeruiah. And he became the commander of David's army. Isn't this powerful? He held this position as long as David lived. After the fortress of Mount Zion was taken from the Jebusites, David made it larger and stronger and chose it for his royal house. And around it, the city of Jerusalem grew up as the chief city in David's kingdom, Zion, the city of David. The Philistines soon found that there was a new king in Israel and a ruler very different from King Saul. The people that God is putting in, that is in position, that it will become visible in the days and months to come, and even year to come, will not be of the Saul nature to the body of Christ. There is a powerful shifting, a paradigm shifting that is taking place. Yes, I am totally not saying that everyone that's in a position is not of God. I am saying this. If you think what you're seeing is all to God, then you have been bewitched. So there will be a greater company of leadership in this age that this age church realm has never witnessed. Believe that. the Philistines, after they found out that, hey, there's a new kid on the block, they gathered their army against David, King David. He met them in the valley, and he chose the south of Jerusalem, and then David won victory over them and carried away from the field the images of their gods, but that the Israelites might not be led to worship them. David burned all of the false gods with fire. David did not rest when he had driven the Philistines back to their own land. He marched with his men into the Philistines' country and took their chief city, Gath, which was called the mother city of the Philistines. He conquered, King David conquered all their land and ended the war of 100 years by making all the Philistines subject to Israel. This is the kingdom of God. Now we are talking in the Old Testament, and now we are under grace. I spoke yesterday of, you know, when the soldiers came for Jesus, and after Judas had did not betrayed, Peter denied him, but Judas betrayed him. Jesus said, after the soldiers asked him, you know, for his identification verbally, and Jesus said, "I am he." And they fell back as dead men. Truly, that's the weapons of our warfare. See, God is a God of war, but the war is shifting, and there would be more of a manifestation of spiritual power than the earth has ever witnessed. And when Jesus spoke words, fire came out of his mouth like Elijah when the fire came down and consumed those that served false gods and consumed the evil of his time. So did Jesus, our heavenly Elijah, when he said, "I am he." The men, the soldiers, fell back as dead men. Now that's power. And now the land was free. David thought that the time had come to bring the holy ark of the Lord. This is dealing with the presence of God out from its hiding place. It seems as though, and there would be some who would disagree with this, but that's perfectly fine. But the presence of the Lord is coming out of hiding. It's coming out of secrecy, and we're going to see the presence of God in a way that we have never witnessed. So David said, now, I've got to get the ark of the Lord out of his hiding place, the secret place, where it had remained all through the rule of Samuel and the reign of Saul. You know, Samuel, as a boy, was raised by Eli. In the house of God, in the temple. And Samuel noticed as he grew up, God spoke to Samuel and told him to go to Eli and tell him how his whole household would be judged. Now, this is a type of the church realm of our day. You see, because Samuel was still a child, Eli had two sons that were sinning in the temple, and those sons were very bad. And you know, we have a type of ministries nowadays where there are those who have been set up as leaders, but they are not truly anointed by God. Well, as the story progressed, Eli was judged, his sons end up dying, and the judgment came upon his house. Eli refused to correct, to bring correction to his house. And we see a lot of leaders are weak. In order to have a congregation, they will be soft on the enemy, and they will not speak with authority in the name of love. But there's judgment coming. There's judgment coming upon the Elis of the house of God. And it's not a good ending. Now, here's David concerned about the presence of God. The presence of God, this Ark of the Covenant, had to be restored. The glory of God, this Ark of the Covenant, had to be brought back to its rightful place. The power of God, this covenant, must be restored, even in our day. The people of Israel lamented. They wept after God's presence. They decided to do all they could to bring the Ark of God, the power of God's presence, to them. In the midst of this preparation, David pitched a tent to receive the Ark of the Covenant. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the Ark of God. He prepared a tent in 1 Chronicles 15:1 with chosen men of all tribes. He went to bring up the Ark to the Mount Zion, and before the Ark walked David and the men of Israel, making music upon all kinds of musical instruments. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up their voices with joy. When the joyful procession arrived in Mount Zion, David set up the ark in the tabernacle he had built. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent, and David had pitched it. And you can find that in 1 Chronicles 16:1. You see, David, by bringing back the presence of God, this Ark of the Covenant, it restored the power of God's presence and glory to Israel. He put the Ark in a tabernacle from which the light of God's glory, power, victory, blessings, joy, and peace would shine out to all who came to Mount Zion. And you know, when Jesus came, he said, "Ye are a city that's set on a hill." So we have become the tabernacle of David. Listen closely. Every time God looks at you that have accepted his blood and received Christ, when God looks at you, he sees the tabernacle, the tabernacle, the tabernacle of David. What does that make your spirit resound in praise? The fact that when God looks at you, he sees the tabernacle of David. Do you understand the implications of that? Do you understand that when God looks at you, that's why the enemy hates you. He hates those that love God. Because, see, the enemy knows that there is a plan far greater than a plan for him. We are now, I'm loosing this by the authority of God, the tabernacle of David. Understand this, that there is absolutely nothing more important than the presence of God. You that are walking by faith, you that have lost your homes, you that have lost your jobs, you that have used to having money to do this, you that have lost your cars you wearing the same clothes over and over, you that have seemed like you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you don't know what is going to happen. Let me explain something to you. Ooh, the presence of God is here. It is dwelling in temples not made with hands. Do you understand that there's nothing more important? You see, all of the issues that we are facing economically, it's only birth pains. Yes, only birth pains compared to the birthing of what God has designed for us. I promise you this, you'll look back at this and you'll say, "Oh, that was such an easy season. a moment of lack, a moment of I don't know what's next, but I'm still walking by faith. I stand here, Roderick Owensby, my Queen Katrina Owensby, our children, we stand here as a witness. You keep walking by faith. Keep your eyes on God. I promise you, let the enemy talk. Let the enemy mock you. You don't have this. You don't have that. Just go ahead. That's none of your business. Listen, I want you to understand. When people dog you out, that's none of your business. When people dog me out, that's none of my business. That's between them and God. They are going to have to deal with God. When your family members treat you funny, that's none of your business. Leave it in God's hand, because you will be the one who take care of those who laughed and dog you out. You better listen to this woman. You better listen to this man, boy and girl. Listen, your enemies are very important to this stage play. Let me tell you something. Joseph felt pretty bad. His own brothers put him in a hole, sold him to slavery. Listen, I'm talking about the presence of God. But the presence of God was with Joseph. And Joseph was promoted not by his skills, but by the presence of God. See, because God knew Joseph had the heart to bless those that cursed him. See, and everybody doesn't have the mantle. Some folk got a little oil and still cannot do right with it. But yet they claim to be anointed and have the birthright. It's not so. Listen, let me tell you something. God knew that Joseph had the heart to love on in spite of. Woman, man, boy, and girl, hold on. It's just a little bit. You're going to see the change that's going to blow your mind. Now, I caution you. Don't do what was done to you, or you will lose the glory. My God, don't treat others how others have treated you, or you will lose the glory. See, we all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. So there will be a change. Listen, don't do what was done to you. I'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Roderick Owensby, a king with a small K, because Jesus Christ is King of Kings. I'll be back in a moment.
Whoa! Come on, put those hands together with us. One more time.
Thank God has given us.
God in the throne, but the body knows it's born. That's who you're for, when the spirit dance with the king that we've never seen before. Untouched territory, faith is mandatory. If you wanna take a natural manifestation of the glory.
I have someone on. God bless you. God bless you. You're listening to Roderick Owens speak. God bless you. Well, praise the Lord. Well, you know, God is so good. And it looked like they wanted to talk, but we'll come back to them. God is so good. I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord is so great. I'm going to take another break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
You ever seen a creature like that? I thought you were going to shake my hand. You ready for the first time? Come on, reach your hand out here. God bless you, Dad. God bless you.
What is wrong with your throat? Hard to do something. Get a hold.
God bless you,
Dad. What's wrong with you? Get somebody to kiss you so you can turn to a human.
God bless you, Dad.
It's not God never told you to be strong.
He did.
No, he did. He never told nobody this. He told you to be strong in the Lord. Come on, ladies. I can handle it. I can deal with this.
Hallelujah.
The sanctified wife sanctified her
husband.
Well, how long does it take?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said, take off the cape.
Take off the cape.
You know you've been superwoman. Come on. When this daughter came to us, she was like a stray Oh, she didn't know who loved her. First guy come weak as shit. You told me. I just get yourself down. Apostle, what did you think? Nothing. So we play strong.
Right.
Somebody say I'm praying for you. I'm okay.
Right.
Right.
God bless you. I'm already blessed. Well, you go to waiting.
Oh my God.
I went to somebody tomorrow one time. I said, God bless you. I'm already blessed. I said, give me $1,000. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I write me a check then, bro. The blood of Jesus.
Oh my God.
Any other people like that? You want them up. How you know God bless you? I'm blessed or highly favored. It don't matter to me, because if God bless you, it's the same thing as highly favored.
And this sister had dealt with those who said they loved God, but they had conditional love toward her. And watch this. As long as she did what was necessary for those involved to feel empowered, she was important. However, as soon as she would speak her mind, then she was the enemy. Are you around people like that? And as long as you be what they want you to be, you know, some people get a sense of empowerment. You know, look at a car. The greatest thing on the car is the engine. Some people see the wheels, what color it is, and how it looks. You know, it's like the man that went to purchase a car. He saw in the newspaper that they had this fabulous car. Not a scratch was on it, it was said. Not a dent. I mean, the body was brand new paint job. double paint job, shining wheels, everything. Inside was crisp. I mean, this car was awesome. It looked good, but there was not an engine in it. It was empty. It was just a shell. We say by cliche, by tradition, this person we meet for the first time is a nice person. This person is a good person. Let me explain something. We all are good people in the making. We all are nice people in the making. We all are compassionate in the making. So whether you say it or not, but at least in your mind, when you meet a person for the first time, your impression of them is sweet and kind. Know that it is in the making. Know that. This is Roderick Owensby, and we will continue to talk about the presence of God. You know, when King David brought back the Ark of the Covenant, it restored the power of God's presence and glory to Israel. If you want the power of God's presence to be restored to your ministry, you have to get out of the way. Pastors, you have to get out of the way. Pastors have set themselves up as kings of the church. There's only one king, and that's Jesus Christ. What do you mean, pastors have set themselves up as kings? You know, it's like how corporate America has robbed and stolen. Many leaders have robbed God while teaching them that they are robbing God in tithing and offerings, while most of offerings that are being raised are not offerings at all. They are auctions. And the tithing has been profaned. It has been taught out of fleshly desires of leaders who saw gain, monetary gain. It's backwards, abomination, a false balance. Very few Christians know the real meaning of tithing. So we have people rendering to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but not God. You know what God said? He said, don't render your garments, but give me your heart. There was a Pharisee and the publicans praying. The Pharisee talked about how he fasted twice a week. You know, a lot of demon nations, they fast twice a week. And the Pharisee was saying, I pay my tithe, and I'm not like this publican. You see that crown of pride, that religious spirit? But the publican smote himself on the breast, the Bible says, and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The publican was saying, I've sinned and I've came up short of God's glory. And he was calling upon the mercy seat. My God. He leaned upon the mercies of God. David talks about the sure mercies of God. David understood the mercy of God. And you find that many people who have this religious spirit, they don't understand the mercies of God. We are in a new day, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready. So here is the presence of God. David put the ark where it belongs. The presence of God is seen in the Shekinah glory above the Ark of the Covenant in Moses' tabernacle was restored. His presence and glory dwelt upon Mount Zion and transformed all who worshipped at David's tabernacle. This was, however, although different from the tabernacle which Moses had built, this was a new day, a new thing, a new order. You know, Satan has his order, and God has his. There was an outer court, a holy place, and a holies of holies in the tabernacle of Moses. However, there was no outer court and no holy place in the tabernacle of David. This is so important. It should be no marvel in the eyes of any enlightened saint to see that what David did was to transfer only the Holy of Holies to Mount Zion. David was not concerned about the outer court, the inner court. David went right to the source. And I, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you by the inspiration of God, call me what you will, call me a prophet, call me an apostle, I am a son of God, not the son of God. And I say, without any apology, that the transfer of wealth has nothing to do with money. It has to do with the holies of holies. It has to do with the presence of God. And you say to me, well, the wealth of the wicked is laid up from the just. How do you think the wicked is prospering with billions and billions of dollars? They have the ark. The ark of God will be returned. That's why God is putting the righteous in authority. Yes. I'll be back in a moment.
You know, there's just something about it. I can't explain it. It goes something like that.
Thank you.
Ron Haas. God bless you. His love is unexplainable. This is Roderick Owensby. Listen, talking about the presence of God and the fact that King David, in his tabernacle, there were no outer court or inner court. It was just the holies of holies. There's a reason for that. And understand this, and I want you to listen to me, and I know that there are many, many leaders, pastors, that are listening in secret. Hear this and hear this well. Too many of God's people are being deceived into thinking that the wealth of the wicked is money. Didn't you read how the Philistines had the presence of God? There were many people who had the Ark of God. Later on, it brought trouble, some cases disease, and different things. That's why the wicked would be destroyed unless they repent. But you must understand, anyone who has wealth has it due to the presence of the Lord. Now see, many Christians won't agree with that, but you have to agree with He reigns on the just, the unjust, as well as the just. You see, because the just lives by faith, but the unjust lives by what faith produces. They have just enough belief to achieve, and instead of them, that's why they are so against giving, but it's all about receiving. But too many of God's people are being deceived by false prophets that are spiritually overtaxing them through false prophetic words that did not come from God. And the bottom line is send in this amount to receive a miracle. I mean, right in your face, you're seeing witchcraft. I'm not talking about God's prophets. I'm not talking about God's apostles. I'm not talking about God's leaders. You know, some folk, you speak the truth, they get offended. That means that's because they are on the side of the enemy. But those who don't have an indifferent ear, they will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But those that don't have a spiritual ear, they will only hear what they want to hear. That's fine. But to you who need a physician, understand this. The wealth of the wicked is simply the presence of God. David knew that this ark was laid up in the hands of the Philistines. He went and he got the ark. Let me ask you a question. It's with wisdom. What would you want from a billionaire? His money or her money or their wealth of information? A wise person would choose the wealth of information. A fool would say their money. Well, tomorrow night, I look forward to speaking with you. I am so excited about what God is doing on this broadcast. Tomorrow night at the same time, 9 Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to continue speaking on the presence of the Lord. This is Roderick Owensby. I love you. I'll talk to you shortly.
Somebody wave your hand and thank God for grace tonight. Wondrous grace. Spectacular grace. Extraordinary. Incredible grace. It helped me.